Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning. So tonight we have two sponsors. I'll say them in the order that I got them. One of them wishes to remain anonymous. She is an online YU Torah listener, and we thank her very much for her sponsorship. She is sponsoring in the schus for Zivug Hagun Bekarov. May the intended one find their shidduch. Bekarov and Bizocha to build a bais ne'eman b'Yisrael. I thank her very much for learning with me and also for sponsoring tonight's year. The other sponsor is from Montreal, Sigalit Laredo, in honor of her son Benjamin's bar mitzvah this Shabbos, Binyamin Yehuda Eliyahu Laredo. So we wish a big mazel tov all the way to Canada to Sigalit and her family. And may they see much nachas from Binyamin Yehuda Eliyahu and from the whole family, Be'ezrat Hashem. So, Baruch Hashem, the sponsor, also for a simcha. So, Kein Yirbu. So, let's get to our learning. We're in the middle of learning about Rabbi Tarfon. We started last week with the biography of Rabbi Tarfon. This whole series on Rabbi Tarfon started when we began the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer. I'm just going to remind you of the Mishnah. There's no screen share tonight, Billy Nader. I'm not planning on it. At the end of Perek Beis of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayam Katser, the day is short, V'hamalacha Meruba, the work is much, V'hapoalim Atzeilim, the workers are lazy, V'haschar Harbei, the reward is much, Ubal habayis dochik, and the Baal habayis is pushing you. Get your work done. There's a lot of work to do, and the reward is great, so get the work done. Okay, so that's the Mishnah that we're really based on. I'm going back to last week. We spoke about the Pesach Seder, and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, Shayu Mesubim b'Bnei Brak. So this time I'm going back to the biography of Rabbi Tarfon, and I want to touch upon a nakuda that we mentioned last time, that I want to elaborate on. So Rabbi Tarfon, what we said last time, some of the things that we said about the life of Rabbi Tarfon, remember he was a Tana who lived in Eretz Yisrael following the destruction of the Second Temple, which puts him in the same time period as the great Tana Rabbi Akiva, who also lived post Churban Bayis Sheni. And one of the things we said last time is that Rabbi Tarfon debates and argues with Rabbi Akiva far more times than any other Tana in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva debate and argue far more times than any other in the Mishnah. However, Rabbi Tarfon held Rabbi Akiva in great esteem, and he was happy to admit defeat when Rabbi Akiva bested him. Once, after a lengthy debate in which Rabbi Tarfon finally conceded to Rabbi Akiva, he exclaimed, "Akiva, whoever separates himself from you is if he separates from life himself." So they would argue and debate, but he was not embarrassed to say, "Rabbi Akiva, you're right and I'm wrong." Furthermore, Rabbi Tarfon appears in the Mishnah nearly 50 times, mostly in disputes with Rabbi Akiva. So I'm going to tell you, we read those statements last time, and I didn't comment on the idea of Mechamta Shel Torah. There's a reason why. Because when I was preparing Shir last week, I was sitting there and I was just thinking, and I knew I read such a tremendous illustration of the Mechamta Shel Torah recently, and I could not for the life of me remember which sefer I read it. And my husband was there, my desk is right in the kitchen, I'm just sitting there and I couldn't remember, saying, "Hashem, please, where did I read this? And I literally could not remember. I knew it wasn't in Generation where I read Dr. Tursky, couldn't remember where I read it. So I finally said to myself, I must have read it in Mishpacha. Usually, I remember where I learn things. So I said, it must have been a Mishpacha, and I give away the Mishpachas after I finish reading them, so I couldn't quote the story. And this week, in the beginning of the week, it was either Monday or Tuesday when I was davening in my usual spot, and my spot is next to one section of my Sfarim Shrank, and I'm in between Vayivarech David and Az Yashir, and I'm davening, and I happen to look sideways, and the book was right there. And I'm sorry, Hashem, I was in the middle of Vayivarech David and Az Yashir. And I said it, I didn't say it out loud in my head. I said, "Thank you, Hashem," because I was davening right next to the Sefer. And it was in the Rav Gusman biography. And I was so happy. Mamish, I was so happy. I put the Seder down for a minute. I didn't talk. I didn't do anything. I just took the Sefer off of the shelf. It was Mamish, Ahudul Hashem, Kitov, Kiyom, Chastel moment. So I'm going back to what we spoke about last week. One of the things we spoke about last week in the biography is Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva debated and argued a lot. And I wasn't able to elaborate further, and now I'm going to give an illustrative story. I'm quoting from the biography of Rav Gusman. He was the youngest dayan of the Vilna, based in. He was on Rav Chaim Oizer Grzanski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, based in. And he would enter the room of Chaim Oizer, and one time the Chofetz Chaim stood up for him. And he said, and he was a young, he was in his early 20s, it was before the war. And he said after that, he never had a taiva for kavod his whole life. He said, once a Chavetz Chaim stands up for you, there is no kavod that anyone gives you in your whole life counts as anything. It's a fascinating biography. He's most famous for a story with him, Rabbi Shlomo Alman. Rabbi Professor Shlomo Alman. Shlomo Alman was the one who was Nifter. Rabbi Professor Alman, does anyone remember Rabbi Alman's first name? When his son was killed in the Lebanon War, Rav Gusman went to be Menachem Avil and sat with him. And he said, I never had a chance to mourn for my son who was killed in the Holocaust. Let me sit with you. However, aside from that story, Rav Gusman was a tremendous hidden gadol. Okay? Yeah, but there's a different name. What was his Hebrew name? So he was a tremendous, unbelievable gadol, and he was revered by the Gedolei Europa before the Holocaust. After, he was much lesser known, but he was a tremendous gadol. So Baruch Hashem, between Az Yashir and Vayivarech Tov and Az Yashir, I just happened to glance up for a second, and there was the Sefer. I immediately knew. There we go. So Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, Kol mechlokes shehi l'shem shemayim sofal yiskayim, v'she'ena l'shem shemayim ein sofal yiskayim. Korach and his Eidah were swallowed up, because any machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven, but is rather for the sake of self-cover, or the sake of division in Knesset Yisrael, or the sake of ka'as, or the sake of separating Jews from one another, will never be successful and will never be everlasting. Any machloka shehi l'shem shamayim, like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, will last forever. So here you have this idea, not this idea, the reality. The Rabbi Tarfon debates with Rabbi Akiva far more times than any other Tana in the Mishnah. He appears in the Mishnah nearly 50 times, mostly in disputes with Rabbi Akiva. But we have to understand about Rabbi Tarfon, he was a tremendous Tana and Gadol, and leader of Am Yisrael. And if the debates are recorded for posterity in Torah Sheba'al Peh, it means it teaches us about the way to have machlokas when it is purely l'shem shemaim and not l'shem the ani. And this is an unbelievable example of Melchamta Shel Torah. So I'm quoting from the art school biography of Rav Yisrael Zev Gusman Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was close to Rav Chaim Eizer Grozensky, Rav Shimon Shkop, the Chazon Ish, and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, as well as other Gedolim. On the occasion of Rav Gusman's granddaughter's wedding, while the Rosh Yeshiva was busy with his guests and details of the wedding, there were two other Rabbanim there, Rabbi Moshe Zaretsky and Rav Chaim Zimmerman, who were present. They began to argue with one another about a certain Rambam. Rav Moshe told Rav Chaim his pshah. Rav Chaim said, nonsense, you don't know how to interpret a Rambam. Rav Moshe said, I don't know how to interpret a Rambam. You got a kruma pshat, a distorted understanding in the Rambam. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll show you how to learn it up. Before long, the decibel level had increased. The two were shouting and citing commentators at the Rambam at each other. You have no way to explain the Mishnah Lamelach. He's talking nonsense according to your pshat. I can answer according to the Mishnah Lamech. It's like this, and he explained according to his pshat. But as for you, you don't have any mahalach in the Rav HaMagid. The shouting grew more and more passionate. The Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Mir, Rav Benish Finkel, his eyes twinkling, had been listening to the two Torah scholars from the beginning of the argument. And by the end, he was chuckling as he watched the two Talmidei Chachamim go at each other in their Melchamta Shel Torah. The next day, this Rav Moshe Zaretsky walked into the yeshiva, and he walked up to Rav Gusman, and he said, Yisrael, Rav Yisrael Zev Gusman, where does Chaim Zimmerman live? I want to go apologize for the argument we had last night. The Rosh Yeshiva told him where Rav Chaim lived, and he sent students to accompany Rav Moshe Zaretsky there. Rav Moshe knocked on the door, and Rav Chaim Zimmerman opened the door. Rav Moshe said, I want to apologize. What apology? Said Rav Chaim, you had a kruma pshat on the Rambam, that's certain. You call my pshat a kruma pshat on the Rambam? My pshat was emes la'amiso, the absolute truth. The argument began all over again, as loudly as before, citing various commentators on the Rambam. When it ended, and Rav Moshe left, he said to the students who had accompanied him, now I need to apologize again. This time, he sent two of the Rosh Yeshiva's close Talmidim to be the shaliach to deliver the apology. And Rav Chaim Zimmerman said, apologize for what? That was how to learn Torah. I haven't learned like that in years. I don't remember the last time I enjoyed myself so much. I didn't think that kind of Talmud Chacham still exists in the world. When the Talmidim came back to Rav Moshe Zaretsky with the message of Rav Chaim Zimmerman, he said, Zimmerman can learn. Zimmerman can learn. So I laughed, I smiled when I read it. Originally, I told one of my sons, I said, you have to read the story about the Mechamta Shel Torah and what is an argument L'Shem Shamayim. And when I read about Rabbi Tarfon, who was always debating with Rabbi Akiva, even though he was his colleague, they had tremendous respect for each other, but they were both fighting the Mechamta Shel Torah to come to the Emes L'Amiso. So that was one nakuda of Rabbi Tarfon's life that I wanted to bring out. And a true Talmud Chacham knows when an argument is L'Shem Shamayim and he's not fighting for his own kavod, which is detrimental and will never last, will just take a person down to the Sha'ol, the depths of the grave, but the Mechamta Shel Torah will be everlasting. And everyone still loves each other because there is no animosity. True machlokas, Rachman Latzon, that's bitter, there's animosity between the two parties. When it comes to Rav Chaim Zimmerman and Rav Moshe Zaretsky and Lahavdil, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, there's tremendous ahava because they both have ahavas Torah, ahavas Yisrael, and ahavas Hashem, and they're arguing for the sake of the Shem Shemayim. Okay, so that was the first nekuda that I wanted to bring out this evening. Continuing with the biography of Rabbi Tarfon. So, Rabbi Tarfon appears in the Mishnah nearly 50 times, mostly in disputes with Rabbi Akiva. He also appears frequently in Brisos and other places throughout the Talmud and the Medrash, as well as in the Pesach Haggadah. That was the last sentence of the biography we said last night. We used that as the point of departure to then go to an insight by Rav Soloveitchik about different doros sitting at the Pesach Seder together. In Rabbi Tarfon's well-known teaching, he compares the lifelong obligation of Torah study and fulfillment of the mitzvos to a huge task that a worker must complete in one day. A man's lifespan of 70 or 80 years may seem long, but when we consider the Torah we are obligated to master and how vast it is, we realize that 70 or 80 years is not long at all. And now the biography, which biography am I quoting from? Just for your reference last week, also it's fabulous. It is the introduction to the Talmud, it's called. It looks like an art school Gemara, a Schottenstein edition, Daf Yomi edition, Talmud Bavli. It's called the Introduction to Talmud History, Personalities, and Background. It's a very, very beautiful sefer. So this sefer now quotes the Mishnah that we are focusing on. We are obligated to master so much vast Torah learning that we realize that 70 or 80 years is not long at all. Rabbi Tarfon says, the day is short and the work is great. The workers are lazy, the reward is great, and the employers insist him. On the other hand, the same Rabbi Tarfon sought to reassure us the task at hand is attainable. So you might become so overwhelmed that you think, why am I going to bother at all? If that's how much Torah I have to learn and I could never accomplish everything, then I'm not even going to start. You might give up before you even try. So the same Rabbi Tarfon assures us that it is attainable for every person according to their own level. And that's key. Sometimes, you know, it wasn't applicable to me at all. I found it beyond inspiring. But I remember that a couple of people told me after the Hani Machlis biography came out, they found it too difficult because they felt like I could never be a Hani Machlis. And they found it too overwhelming. And almost, Chas V'Sham, she was a mamashot tzadekes, l'malam min ateva, but that was a problem for them. They felt because I could never be a Hani Machlis, this book was too demeaning to me personally. Because I could never be here. I took the opposite lesson. I said I have to learn about the Gedolim. Recognize I might never be. I will never be a Gadol like the Gedolim. Whatever the female that is. However, what level can I reach? So Rabbi Tarfon doesn't want us to become discouraged. So he tells us the task at hand is attainable, each according to his own level. God does not demand of us more than we can do. Every person has to know what you can do. You have to do it, but you have to know what you can do. And therefore, he used to say, which is the very next Mishnah, right at the end of Parak Beis, Lo alacha hamlacha ligmor. The work is not upon you to finish. Lo ata ben chorin livatel mimena. But you are not freed, you're not absolved to absolve yourself of the work. 1 minute. How was it?
I promise you, I have
1 second, everybody.
I have never learned more chemistry the entire year than I just learned.
Did you tell her? Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
She's very appreciative.
Wow. Sorry. My son just came home from a chemistry session, and we're struggling with chemistry. And we're getting the help we need. And he said it was the most amazing thing ever. It's the most amazing session ever. Hodu Hashem, Kitov, Kilom, Chastom. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Im lamada the Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, nostim the chaschar harbe, they give you a lot of reward. The naman hu bamalach the chasho yishalim the chaschar pulasecha. So you should know that the master is going to pay your reward. So the same Rabbi Tarfon who tells you the day is short and you got to get a lot done doesn't want you to be discouraged and says Hashem will repay your reward. Continuing in the biography, employer can be relied upon, the employer can be relied upon to pay you for your work. No, however, says the Mishnah, the main reward of the righteous is in the future, in the world to come. So I decided to now go to Rabbi Berlein and his commentary to the Mishnah itself, even though we're really doing the biography of Rabbi Tarfon, because at this point it quotes the Mishnah, which is the focus of our study these past few weeks. Let's see some commentary to this Mishnah itself. Rabbi Berlein says as follows. Like his colleague, Rabbi Akiva, so I'm now going to the Sefer, Pirkei Avos, Teachings for Our Time. Like his colleague, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon was descended from converts, which I don't know if it said in the biography or not. It gave a little bit of a biography of his ancestors, but I don't remember that it said he was descended from converts. Like Rabbi Akiva, was descended from converts. He was one of the leaders of Israel before the Bar Kokhba rebellion. He lived in the city of Lod and died in approximately 130 Common Era. The name Tarfon, which the biography did not tell us, we spoke last time about the Lashon HaKodesh of Tarfon. The name Tarfon is a form of the Greco/Roman name Tryphon, T-R-Y-P-H-O-N. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly or not. The name Tarfon is a form of the Greco-Roman name Tryphon. He was a person of wealth and stature who studiously avoided personal honor and gain, which really ties into how we began Shir. He avoided personal honor and gain. So his Mechamta Shel Torah with Rabbi Akiva, more than 50 times recorded in the Mishnah, was not for himself, because everyone should say how great Rabbi Tarfon is, or that Rabbi Tarfon is right, was the Shem Shemayim. His scholarship and sterling character, combined with his piety and sense of devotion to Torah and Israel, made him one of the heroes of the period of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Tarfon is clearly an extremely important Torah, Shabbat Al-Peh, and leader of Am Yisrael personality. And now Rabbi Berlein comments on the Mishnah. Hayom Katzer, the day is short. And what he's going to say is not such a Pella, but it's so moving and so true when we contemplate this. The day is truly short. Life flies by. Who does not remember holding one's first child in one's arms as though it were only yesterday? Yet it is 40 years later. Where did the time go? When we are very young, time drags on. When will I be old enough to drive a car, we wonder? When will I leave home for higher education? When will I seriously search for a mate? When will I pursue my career? When we're younger, we wait for the time to pass, to reach all these milestones in life. And then we grow older, and suddenly life advances, and it's in the fast forward mode. I'm smiling, but it's really not funny, and it's so true. Because then, as we get older, we realize the shortness of life, says Rabbi Berlein. We have a special responsibility to make the most of our time and the most of our opportunities. I'm interrupting Rabbi Wein for a moment to quote from a Sefer, Portraits of Prayer. This idea of making your time count and making the most. The last sentence that I read from Rabbi Wein's commentary on Avos is, we have a special responsibility to make the most of our time and maximize the opportunities. The story is told, this is from the Sefer Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eli Ezer Abish. The story is told, Israel Bookshop Publications. The story is told of a man strolling by the riverside when he saw a young boy in the river struggling to keep his head above the water as the strong tide was pulling him farther away from the shore. Being a strong swimmer, the man wasted no time. He jumped into the river to save the boy. He managed to swim to the boy and drag him out of the water to safety. The boy, upon catching his breath, thanked the man from the bottom of his heart. The man looked at the boy and he said, "It's all right, my son. Just make sure you live your life in a way that it is a life that is worth saving." And we say every day in the Hallelukas, "Halali nafshi es Hashem, my soul will praise Hashem, ahalala Hashem b'chayai, I will praise God while I live, azamra la elokai be'odi, I will sing to God while I yet still am alive." What is Ahalo Hashem Bechayai? I will say praise Hashem with my life. On the other hand, Azamra Elokai Beodi. I will sing to my God while I am old, while I am well, while I am still alive. The Malbim explains that the word Beodi comes from the word od, meaning more or additional. Hashem gives human beings the ability and the skills that are necessary to stay alive and survive. Ahal Hashem b'chayai. Hashem keeps you alive. However, in addition to the basic skills that are necessary for survival, He gives us more than that. He gives us talents. He gives us additional skills. These skills and talents might be not crucial for base survival, but those skills and talents are needed for each person to fulfill their unique role and their purpose in life. And they were given to us in order to serve Hashem in a unique fashion. Hence, Ahalala Hashem Bechayai, I will praise Hashem with my life, my basic living. I will praise Hashem. Azamra la alokai beodi. I will sing to God for all the extras that He gives me. To paraphrase Rabbi Zev Lev, the talents, abilities, and capabilities above the basic level of survival that enhance my life and make me a better Eved Hashem. I will develop and use my skills. Azamra la alokai beodi. With my ode, with my skills and my talents, my abilities and capabilities, I will go the extra mile to praise Hashem. This is a significant responsibility. People must harness their talents and skills to enhance their service of Hashem. Rav Shalom Shwadron, the famous Maggid of Jerusalem, would often tell the following parable to exhort people to use their talents and resources to serve Hashem. I'm relating this to the Mishnah, Hayam Katzer. We only have a certain amount of time here to recognize what are our talents, abilities, and capabilities. What is the Ba'odi that Hashem gives me? Because before you know it, says Rabbi Berlin, you turn around and that baby that you were nursing in the rocking chair is 40 years old. And how did you get from there to here? And while life is passing us by, are we living through our time? We have to make sure to go beyond Ahalala Hashem Bechayai. We have to make sure Azamra La Elokai Be'odi, through the Odi, through the enhancements in life that He gives me, I have to praise Him. Rav Shalom Shwadron would often use the following parable to exhort people to use their talents and resources to serve Hashem. A father once took his young son along with him to the bank. The son watched in awe as one customer after another stepped up to the teller and handed over large sums of cash. After the father completed his transaction, the young son said, "Daddy, the person working on the bank is so rich." The father smiled and he explained that none of the money given to the teller belong to the teller. In fact, at the end of every day, the bank teller is required to give every single dollar that he dispensed to the bank. He would lose his job and be in big trouble if he would be taking the money for himself. The same applies to us. What's a nimshal? Said Rav Shwadron. We are all given special skills and talents by Hashem. We're supposed to develop them and use them to fulfill our specific and unique purpose in this world. It's funny, it relates to last night's shiur about Gilgal and Neshamas and relates to this morning's shiur about Kochavim. And this isn't on purpose. Really, it's not. But they're so different, each of these three shiurim. There's a common thread. Fulfill your tafkid while you're here. Because Hayam Katzer, the day is so short. V'hamlacham Ruban, there's so much to get done. V'apoli Metzelim, don't be with the lazy people or you will never fulfill that tafkid. Our skills and talents were not granted to us for our use and our benefit. They must be used to serve Hashem. So in other words, we have to pay back Hashem. The deposit that we have is really meant to give it back, pay it forward, if you will. Ultimately, we will have to give an accounting of how we use our skills and our talents. So it seems like we're so rich, but only if we actualize our potential are we really so rich. Going back to Rabbi Berlin, the Gaon of Vilna, the great Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer. I don't know if I ever knew the Vilna Gaon's last name. Rav Eliyahu Kramer, Rav Eliyahu Mivilna, slept very little, only about 2 hours a day during his mature years. He commented there would be plenty of time to rest and sleep after life ends. They asked Rav Steinman Zatzal, doesn't he need of our name more time to sleep? He said, after 120, I'll have plenty of time to rest. Our very mortality, says Rabbi Berlin, drives human creativity and the advances that mark the story of civilization. Knowledge of the shortness of the day haunts our entire life. Rabbi Tarfon's concept echoes the words of Hillel, who cautions us, you should never postpone Torah study into the future, for one does not know when the future will end. Al tomer the kasha afna ashna shema lo tifana. Do not say, when I have time, I will study, because you may never have time. It is the shortness, the uncertainty of life itself, that fuels much of human behavior, says Rabbi Berlein. I heard a story told by Rabbi Zev Leff. I love when he says, when I was a young Rav in Miami, well, this was when I was a young boy in Miami, he says, there was once a contest. It was a supermarket, it was doing a contest, Rabbi Zev Leff. They put out an ad, I don't know, the winner, I don't remember what the contest was, the winner would have 15 minutes to run around the supermarket and take whatever they want for free. So they have this contest, and this certain woman won, and they publicized, everyone should come watch, the woman, during her 15 minutes of fame, collecting all of her goods. So he says the woman comes, she has two shopping carts, she went to watch, big event in Miami, was a kid. She has two shopping carts, she buys new sneakers, she's revved up, she puts a map of the store, this is obviously in the days before smartphones, she puts a map of the store and a little like plate or something before her Ford so she could see, and she's going to go to the most expensive aisles first, and they say 3, 2, 1, go, and the 15-minute countdown starts, and she's running around like a mishigana trying to get the most expensive item, fit as much as she can into the two carts. So Rabbi Zev Leff says, if you would go up there after 7 minutes and say, you know, I see, lady, you're panting, you're huffing, you're sweating, you're red, you look like you need a drink. Here's a chair. You take her folding chair. Have a seat. Why don't you sit down, take a rest, doze for half an hour, and you'll get up. In a half an hour, you'll continue your shopping. And she would say to her, are you crazy? I only have 7 more minutes left to hop around. I have to take whatever I can now. In 7 minutes, I could sit down on the chair and rest. I'm not going to rest now. This is the time to grab the gold. Rabbi Zev Leff said, what's the name, Mishala? We're in this world for such a short amount of time. Hayam katsera. The day is soon going to be cut off. Katsera, I'm just thinking as I'm speaking, is from the Lashon Kates. Also, I never realized that. Kates is the end. Bikesh Yaakov lagalos es haKates. He wanted to reveal the end. Hayam katsera. Maybe because it's katsera, because it's a foreshadowing of the Kates that's coming. So if someone comes to you, well, you could grab so much. Well, there's so much opportunity to do Torah, mitzvahs. And says, just take a break. What do you need all that Avodas Hashem for? You have to say, I'm grabbing gold. In the next world, I'll have plenty of time to rest. Now I should take a break. Doesn't mean we don't need to physically rest, obviously. But it doesn't mean we take a break from Avodas Hashem, just like that lady can't take a break from running around the supermarket to grab whatever good she could. Continues Rabbi Bera Wine, the work, the task is abundant, according to his translation. The work is certainly great. Most projects are left uncompleted by the end of our sojourn on earth. If this is true regarding the physical world, how much more so regarding our spiritual goals? Because there is always more to study. There's always more to know. There's more good deeds to be done. There's more help to be offered to others. Judaism provides a never-ending list of challenges, demands, and hopes. Judaism provides no easy respite, nor does it give long vacations. But being a Jew is being productive. And so Rabbi Tarfon's next words regarding the workers being lazy are a warning against lulling ourselves into a state of complacency. And so Rabbi Tarfon says, after he tells you, Hayam Katser, you're going to sit down in the middle of the contest now? When I could grab the foie gras and the sushi and the rack of lamb, now I'm going to sit down? And the chantilly mushrooms, or however you pronounce it, now I'm going to sit down. I'll sit down in 15 minutes. I'm not going to sit down now. Now when you could do so many mitzvos, now when I could learn so much Torah, now I should take a break from Avodas Hashem. V'hamlacham merubah, says Rabbi Bera Wein. Judaism provides a never-ending list. Never-ending, as long as you're alive. Challenges, demands, hopes. There's so much to learn and there's so much to do. And so the very next statement of Rabbi Tarfon here is V'hapoalim atzelim. The workers are lazy. It is human nature, says Rabbi Wein, to take it easy. But laziness must be fought and discarded. The story of my dear friend, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, he says, resonates constantly in all of our ears and psyches. A newly observant Jew who suddenly discovered the time constraints of morning prayer exclaimed, does that mean I can never sleep late on a Sunday morning again? We are told, Leich el namel atzel. I think, please forgive me, it's a pasuk from Mishlei. because I didn't think of it when I was preparing. I make notes in all my Svarim, they're all marked up. But I'd have thought when I was preparing, I would have looked up the exact pasuk and source to give it to you. Someone wants to look it up now. You couldn't post it on the channel. I'll be able to quote it properly. If the lazy person wants to know how to rouse themselves to work and not to be a tzel, go to the namel. Go look at the ant who is here for such a short sojourn, who can be stepped on so easily, who can be discarded for another ant in the colony, whose life is not as valuable as a human life, even though, yes, I know Hashem made him, and in my house we're very sensitive towards nature and all creatures. And yet he works so hard. He's so industrious. He works for the good of the whole colony. Did someone look it up for me and post it? Not yet. If you Google it, you'll find it. Go to the ant. Go see the ant lazy person scriptures. If you Google that, you'll find it. And the ant, even the ant, the lowly ant, reminds a human being what it means not to be an atzel, not to be lazy, to grab whatever you can while you're here. And finally, not finally, second to last, is Rabbi Tarfon in this Mishnah, Haschar Harbeh, so Hayom Katzer, V'ham Lacham Merubah, V'hapolim Atzelim, V'haschar Harbeh. The day might be short, the work might be great, the tendency of the workers is to be lazy, but if you can overcome that tendency, the reward is so great. Says Rabbi Barrow Wein, people respond to an opportunity for great gain. No one will willingly invest $10,000 in an investment that will allow them to profit $100. But if there's an opportunity to receive $100,000 for the $10,000 investment, that's great reward. There will be many interested investors. If it's a guaranteed, you're going to be $10,000 guaranteed. You're going to get back $100,000. Who's not going to do that? Judaism promises, lahavdil, great reward for those who invest. Rewards available to your quality of life in this world, and eternal rewards are greater than $100,000 in the next world. It holds the promise of a meaningful life. Judaism holds the promise of serenity of spirit, and it holds the promise of quality of character. It's so beautiful. It holds a promise of living a meaningful life, serenity of spirit, and quality of character, says Rabbi Wein. A Torah life provides for family continuity and generations proud and united with one another. Jewish life, thank you, but what's the source? Esti, what's the source? Could you type the source, please? Jewish life transcends the mundane world of our everyday existence and provides a connection with the eternal and what is most valuable. But the profit must be earned. It's not a windfall. It's not given for free. It's not winning the lottery ticket. As we read at the end of Perikei and Pirkei Avos, Lufum Tsa'ara Agra, according to the effort, is the reward. You will not get $100,000 in return without first investing the $10,000. So that's the Nimshah. We must invest all that we have and all that we can invest. But if we do so with our full faithfulness towards God and fellow man, then the reward is boundless. The rock-solid guarantor of the investment and the opportunity for great reward have sustained Jews and Jewish life throughout history. Okay, thank you so much to Esti. And then Chana Wasserman after her. So thank you very much. I'm just going to copy and paste what Esti sent me so that you could all see. And then Malki Sultan. Thank you so much. And Esti also told me Mishlei 6:6, and then Chana Wasserman also wrote that. I put on the chat. Leich el nemala atzel. You who are lazy, go look at the ant. Re'e drachaha v'chakam. Look at the ways of the ant. Could you imagine a human being who is lazy is inferior to the ant, who is a hard worker? So if you want to know what it means to be po'alim atzelem, if you want to learn how not to be po'alim atzelem, go look at the ant, says Mishlei, and you will know the value of hard work and the opportunity of producing a life. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayam Katzer, V'ham Lacham Merubah, V'apolim atzelem, V'haschar Harbeh. We've expounded each piece of this according to a commentary of Rabbi Barrow Wein with added insights, portraits of prayer, Rabbi Zev Lef. Don't forget, we began with the Mechamta Shel Torah. And the final statement of this Mishnah, Ubal Habayis Dochik. God is pressing you. You got to get the work done. The Lord, says Rabbi Berlein, is nothing if not demanding of us. Jewish law, covers every facet of human behavior. Our diet, daily and weekly time schedule, education, business practice, speech, interaction with other human beings are all governed by Torah and the standards that God demands. There's a lot of rules to live by. But God is our employer for life, and he is insistent and uncompromising. And he pushes us ahead in life, sometimes with a gentle nudge and sometimes with a stronger momentum. But God is always interested in us. He makes us aware of the shortness of time and the mountain of work that is yet ahead. There's so much to accomplish in life. Somebody this morning in my shiur posted on the chat, she'd like further information about my other shiurim. So I didn't have time to answer. I said, you can reach out to me privately. I didn't have time to answer or email yet either. But she wrote in the email, which I read but didn't have time to reply, that she's 78 years old, Kanai Nahara, and she never really had growing up a yeshiva education, and she's interested in finding out more about my classes. You know, inspiring that is to me. It's unbelievable. Mikam Chayisha Gaya Chalbaart. That's exactly what Rabbi Tarfon is telling you. The day is so short. Grab it while you can. You're going to sit on the chair in the 15 minutes of your competition? Life passes by so quickly. You remember nursing your bachar, and then suddenly they're a grandfather. And where did it go? And what have I accomplished? Have I let the time pass me by? Have I taken the lessons that God wants to teach me? Amazing. I'm 78 years old, she said, and I want to know more about your shiur schedule. There's so much to accomplish in life. The inner feeling of urgency that exists within us, which is the basis for human creativity and humanity, is a reflection of the drive of the soul that the Lord implanted within us. It is the message of the employer that demands a concentrated effort. Therefore, he pushes us to greater heights and more intense productivity. This was Rabbi Tarfon's message, and Rabbi Berlein ends his commentary so beautifully. Remember, I started off by saying, which our biography, Introduction to Talmud, did not tell us, that his name is a form of the Greek or Roman name Tryphon, T-R-Y-P-H-O-N. So Rabbi Berlein's last sentence is, this was Rabbi Tarfon's message. Hayom katzer hamlachamiru b'hapolim atzelim haschar herbe v'albal b'ayis docheik. And living by this shows us how an ordinary Tryphon and eventually turn himself into the great Tana and leader of the people, Rabbi Tarfon. I'm just going to end by quoting, let me see which page I want to quote from, something from Portraits of Prayer, once again, to end our shiur this evening. Imagine, yes, even tying your shoelaces and putting on your shoes goes according to Halacha, that's right. Imagine there's a bank which credits your account each morning with $86,400. It doesn't carry over any balance from day to day. It allows you to keep no cash balance. And every evening it cancels whatever amount of that time, whatever amount of money you failed to use during the day. What would you do? You would withdraw every cent, of course. Everyone has such a bank. It's a time bank. Every morning you are credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night. Think of what you did today when I'm reading this. Think of time I may have wasted today when I'm reading this. Think of time that wasn't productive today. Think of Rabbi Tarfon's message. Think of everything we spoke about in Shir. Every night, whatever part of the time you fail to invest for a good purpose is written off as lost forever. It does not carry over balance. It does not allow overdraft. Every day opens a new account. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest in it so you get the most in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Hayom katzer. Aham lacham ruba. Make the most of today. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. I gave birth to a 30-weeker, so it's true. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 day, ask the Sabbath observer. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the person who studies Daf Yomi. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who missed a train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who just missed an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. I'm going to end there. And I think the material we covered tonight speaks for itself. We wish the whole Loretto family a Mazal Tov on the Bar Mitzvah Binyamin Yehuda Eliyahu Loretto. We thank Sigali for her sponsorship. I guess an appropriate bracha to a Bar Mitzvah boy is to appreciate your time and to strive to always use it well. Be'ezrat Hashem, in the years you have ahead as an Oved Hashem. And for the anonymous sponsor, an online listener who is sponsoring for Zivug Hagun Bekarov, the name will remain anonymous. May that come in the right time. Very speedily, b'shato v'mutzachas. I thank everyone for learning with me. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. Be'ezrat Hashem, I will see you next week. Thank you so much to all. Thank you for learning with me this whole week in various venues. The azchus and pleasure is truly mine. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.